Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. You know, we always have a lot of fun each and every week, but we might even turn it up a little bit this week because my buddy Joe Truini is in town and in the audio booth, and we always have a heck of a lot of fun.
Yes, once again, there was a breach in security, and they actually let me in the building yet again. I typically come down. By the way, thank you, Danny, for having me back to Mobile, Alabama from Connecticut, where it's been snowing since I left, so that's lovely. I typically come down two or three times a year to shoot a new season of Simple Solutions, which I've been doing for the last couple of days, and we have some great Simple Solutions coming up. I love presenting them on the radio, and they're even more fun when I shoot video of it, which you will be seeing on TV and on the website, todayshomeowner.com/simplesolutions. So it's great to be down here. Thanks again, Danny.
Yeah, we've got a full show ready to go here, and we're going to talk a lot about cold weather, and I've got a lot of questions with people asking about things like ventless fireplaces. You know, that's one of those things that you hear about, and you know, I understand some states have outlawed those things, but we're going to talk a little bit about that because it's a big concern to a lot of people.
Yeah, because for how many years or decades and decades, all appliances, heating appliances, had to be vented outdoors for safety. Like, well, wait a minute, why did you not have to vent them? And we're still burning some kind of fuel. Where's it all going? And by the way, if you don't know the question, the answer to that question, don't install a vent-free appliance.
That's right, exactly. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Also, equalizing your heat. You know, if you have a two-story house, sometimes the heating and cooling system is just not designed the way it needs to be to give a little bit of attention to the different levels. And a lot of times, those upstairs will be sweating bullets, and those downstairs will be cold. That's something that the right air conditioning heating contractor can solve that in most cases.
Yeah, especially if it's a system that you moved into a house and it's there. So you don't really know the history of that system. If you get a technician to come in, particularly a technician that maybe did not happen to install that system, he might look at it with a more critical eye and realize, because what ordinarily happens, even if the two systems are operating properly, they're not in balance with one another. Mm-hmm. And whether it's heating or cooling, you don't want to be pumping too much cold air into the house or too much hot air. Creating too much of that is just as bad as not creating enough.
Exactly, yeah. So, you know, you want to be comfortable, but you also don't want to waste any energy at all. Very, very important there. You know, we have a lot of homeowners and a lot of listeners that tackle different types of ceramic projects. Grout is one of those things, especially if you're adding on to existing ceramic. It's hard to match that grout sometimes.
Well, it's impossible because even if it's more than a year old, it's probably some staining, maybe some fading. And then even if it's not, how do you match it exactly? I mean, how many different colors of grout are there? Like 50 or 80? I mean, I don't even know. So, yeah, that's always a challenge. And, of course, you can always dye or stain grout. So that's another option.
And there's a couple ways that we're going to recommend to a homeowner that can get past that little hurdle. What about a simple solution, Joe? I know you got a special one for us this hour.
Yeah, I have one on converting an old banquet table, you know, those folding banquet tables some people have around the house, how to convert it into a workbench.
Is that right?
Yeah.
You know, the upcycling and repurposing pieces of furniture, you know, people have always done that to a degree. But right now, I mean, everybody, I heard someone say the other day, like at Habitat for Humanity, they used to not have any furniture at all.
Right.
Now they've got all kinds of furniture in there that you can go in and buy these solid wood, really good quality pieces.
Right.
And then, you know, when you look on Pinterest and you look at different things, or you look around Chelsea's house, either way, you can see how you can really, you know, do some very clever things with those, whether you refinish it in the original state or whether you do some of the paint, the different types.
Painting over the original finish.
Sure. You know, they're just all kinds of different
ways.
Even
just changing the hardware.
Exactly. Yeah. A lot of different ways that you can do that. Matter of fact, I was able to show Joe my new workshop that I'm working on and everything. There was two pieces of furniture in there. You usually don't see like chest of drawers in a shop like that.
Right.
But I'm planning on taking that and using that, you know, one drawer for wrenches, you know, one drawer for, you know, whatever.
And, well, for stuff that you don't want to get dust all over, too.
That's right.
That's the other thing they're great for. Yeah. You don't usually see, drawers in a workshop, but the drawers, you know, shelves are handy, but they get dusty.
Right. So it's something that we're going to be able to do. But we also have a lot of other calls, a lot of emails, and certainly a lot of fun along the way that we're going to be able to share with you during this hour. So you came down to the south here thinking you're going, of course, you're sneaking out up there to get away from all of the snow. Still dealing with a little bit of cold. You guys were outside and it was like 28 degrees.
It was.
And they said, well, Joe's used to that. He don't have to worry about that. But I understand you got a little cold.
Got a little cold. And when I'm shooting these Simple Solutions, everybody around me, the whole crew are all bundled up in coats and I have to take my coat off. It's like, wait a minute. That doesn't seem like a very good deal. But yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, 28 degrees is cold whether you're in Connecticut or you're in Alabama.
That's right. So it doesn't,
I mean, when it's 28 degrees in Connecticut, of course, it's 28 degrees for most of the day. Here, it was 28 degrees for a few hours, and we worked through it, and it really wasn't that terrible. But yeah, I love coming down and shooting those Simple Solutions because they're very exciting. I never get tired of shooting them because there's always something really interesting to show the audience.
Well, I showed you my own Simple Solution because we had a burn
one,
barrel.
Which
going
one was
there.
That? The burn barrel,
yeah,
yes.
Had burn
right.
barrel, and a buddy of mine provided me this barrel. I live out in the country, so I can do a little burning from time to time. And you know, he took a blowtorch and put holes all around it so that it would vent, you know, when it was burning and everything. So I showed Joe how I could take a leaf blower and to stoke the fire a bit instead of something dangerous like throwing diesel fuel or anything like that in there. I was able to take the leaf blower and just go around the edge there and
blowing air through the holes along the bottom.
Plus, there's some kind of satisfaction that comes out of that.
Oh, it's a boy with a fire.
Yeah.
I mean, what's more exciting than that?
Yeah, watch this. Yeah. So, yeah, I like that. Yeah.
Long as he stays way out in the front yard, his wife Sharon doesn't mind what he's burning out there. Keep it away from the house.
Hey, we want to say, you know, we certainly are, you know, hate to hear about all of the hardships that the weather has caused people over the last few weeks, especially our friends and listeners out in the Texas area. I mean, seeing some of those pictures, just incredible, you know, people
Amazing.
Trying to
yep.
stay warm and creating fires. I saw an apartment complex on fire. I saw water just pouring down through a multi-level home, I mean, it's incredible. You know, so many like in Connecticut and in northern parts of the country, you're built for the cold.
Sure,
but you know, in Texas,
we're prepared for it. Right?
Yeah, is not built, and in certain areas of the South are not built for it. That's why you have to take such caution when we recently had a 21 degree evening, and that can really cause a lot of damage. And I just hate seeing that hardship put on all of those people because it's not just calling the plumber, patch a few leaks. It's a lot more than that when it gets to that extreme.
Yeah, and it's not just an isolated incident. It's not like one neighborhood that has a lot of plumbing problems. You know, it's the entire city and beyond. And there are only so many plumbers and so many drywallers in an area. I saw a photograph, Danny, of that. I had to look at it twice. I couldn't believe what I was looking at. First, I thought it was a chandelier. And a water pipe had busted in a ceiling above a home in Texas. And it dripped down, actually poured down over a ceiling fan and froze. And each blade of the ceiling fan hanging from were like 18-inch long icicles on the entire ceiling. This is indoors, of course. Mm-hmm. You have icicles hanging from your ceiling fan, every blade. And it looked like some kind of really weird chandelier from Vincent Price movies. I don't know what it was. And I'm like, well, that, now how do you repair that?
The dripping chandelier.
Yeah.
There you go. So, yeah, I tell you what, it's the thing about it that, too, is even though if you may have insurance, it's a difficult insurance claim to make. And you have to be very cautious and don't get in a hurry on settling those insurance claims because once you start removing things, it's you might have some electrical issues. You've got insulation that's gotten wet that you have to replace. And certainly you don't want to skimp on replacing any of the drywall that may have gotten wet. That really is a big concern along those lines.
Yeah, and speaking of icicles, a couple of weeks ago we had a caller call into the radio show and had a question about icicles hanging off the outside of his house and what to do about it. And we gave him a couple of suggestions on how to prevent icicles. And I had mentioned that I have a roof rake that I remove the snow from the bottom, you know, 4 or 5 feet of the roof. And a couple of listeners got in touch with me and said, well, what does removing snow really have to do with the icicles? I guess I didn't explain it clearly enough, but what happens is if you can remove that snow from the lower portion of your roof, you're eliminating the source of water. Because what happens is water melts. The snow melts underneath the blanket of snow, and it runs down the roof and it hits the cold eave of the house and drips into the gutter and starts freezing, and it builds up into what is known as an ice dam. You get a big ridge of ice in the gutter. First of all, it's so heavy, sometimes it rips the gutter right off the house. But it also builds up, and then as the water continues to fall down, it can't drain off because there's an ice a dam of ice, so it backs up and gets through the shingles and then into the house. So that's the reason you remove the snow, is just to remove the source of the water from when that snow melts. It's not the snow. I mean, if the snow just stayed snow, it wouldn't be an issue, but of course it's going to melt eventually.
That's when it
becomes an issue.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, it's those little precautions like that can save you a lot of money, like a lot of examples around your home and maintaining and, you know, taking care of a few projects here and there can save you a lot of money down the road. We're just getting started here on Today's Homeowner. Remember our number, 800-946-4420 is the Today's Homeowner hotline. You can call that 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Anytime you have a question, reach out to us. You can also send us an email. We'll be getting to a number of emails in a bit at todayshomeowner.com/ask. We're certainly glad you're spending a little bit of your busy weekend with us. Joe's in town. We're about to have a lot of fun. So don't go anywhere. We'll be right back with more Today's Homeowner Radio.
For DIY projects, you know the Home Depot's always in your corner. Now with our mobile app, it can also be in the palm of your hand. With digital tools like image search, snap a picture of something, it'll recognize it and serve up product suggestions in seconds. And our product locator will check availability and lead you right to it. The Home Depot mobile app. Download it today to get started. Only from the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Take our easy-to-understand and practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading our Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have the latest tips and answers to your home improvement questions. Subscribe today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn a lot more.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot. How doers get more done.
You know, just the other day I was looking at a piece of marketing material that we have that has a really nice animated look at the United States.
Okay.
A real nice graphic. And it had little bitty flags by every single station we have in the country.
Oh, that's good.
And man, it just sent chills up and down my spine that we have reached the level that we've reached with 320 radio stations all over the country. We love each and every one of them. And we want to say hello to one in Savannah, Georgia, WBMQ AM 630.
And Savannah is located in North Georgia, right on the South Carolina border. It's one of the most beautiful cities we've got in the country. And it's also, I'm not sure I was aware of this, Danny, it's the oldest city in Georgia.
Oh, is that right?
Yes, that's where it was established in 1733, and it's right on the Savannah River, just beautiful. The historic district in Savannah, if you've not been there, and if you're interested in old buildings, is just beautifully preserved. It's one of the largest historic districts in the entire country. And I think they have four or five historic districts, actually, and it's a relatively small city. That four or five historic districts is pretty impressive. So hello to everybody in Savannah. Give us a call if you have a home improvement question.
Well, you know, they've done a great job there in Savannah in really utilizing their waterfront. You know, a lot of towns that are on the water, maybe they've become more industrial use and so forth, and a lot of cities have actually gone to Savannah to really look at it and to say, okay, let's see, how did you guys do this? And you preserve these historic areas, making the water accessible to people, both in boating and just being able to, you know, have some outdoor dining and so forth, which is important these days. And so if you're anywhere near Savannah, you need to swing by there and check all of that out. And thanks to everybody there for listening to Today's Homeowner Radio Show. We'll have a lot of emails and a lot of calls coming in, and we'll be able to do something. Matter of fact, we've got a nice stack of emails here. Let's check one out here from Karen Ann says, hi, Danny. I heard you on the radio talking about how to remove wallpaper with a homemade wallpaper stripper. I think I copied down the recipe correctly. You mentioned some type of tool that you use to cut the wallpaper before you spray it. Can you please repeat the name of the tool and tell me exactly how to use it? All right, Karen, well, what you're talking about there is, I don't know what a generic name for that would be, but everybody always refers to it as the paper tiger.
That's exactly right. That's a brand name. Paper Tiger, and I suspect there's probably somebody else making it, but the company is Paper Tiger. And it doesn't actually cut the paper. It doesn't help slice the paper up, but it's a little round handheld tool that has three rollers on the bottom, and the rollers have little sharp blades on it. And you basically just roll it around in a circular pattern up and down. You cover the entire wall, and what it's doing, it's punching little perforations in the paper, but it's cutting so shallow that there's no damage to the wall, and that's really important. And so you just roll this around, it perforates the paper, and then when you spray it, and Danny can share that solution with you again, but when you spray it with the wallpaper stripper, it can soak in behind the paper and really release that glue. That's the key part.
Yeah, it certainly works very, very well. And what we did in a project over at my daughter Chelsea's house recently is actually after we used the paper tiger, after we saturated, and I'm talking about get it wet, as wet as you can, spray it, go around again, and I'm going to share that formula with you in just a second, but you get it just as wet as you can. Then take the lightweight, what we call painter's plastic, it's real thin, and it'll stick right to the wall, no tape or anything, because that moisture is going to hold it there. And then it kind of works over time. We left it on overnight just because we could. And then the next day we pulled that down, and I mean, it basically fell off the wall.
Yeah.
And we're talking about paper that probably been up there for 60 years, two layers of paper.
Yeah.
Grandma sure picked out a pretty paper back then. Wow.
And
so it really works out very well. Now, you can go to todayshomeowner.com, and in our search engine there, just put in wallpaper remover formula. But basically, you're using 3 gallons of hot water, hotter the better. Then you use a wallpaper stripper. Let's see, what is that called? Diff.
Diff, D-I-F.
Yeah, Diff. Yeah. You put some of that in there. 1/4 cup of fabric softener, 1 cup of white vinegar, and 2 tablespoons of baking soda. All of this works together. All of it's in there for a particular reason. Put it in a pump-up garden sprayer, shake it up really well, and saturate it. It'll certainly save you a lot of time because, you know, not only will it save you a lot of time and prevent a lot of frustration when you're doing a project like this, it'll also minimize the damage on the wall. Because I've gone in after homeowners have removed some wallpaper, and it looks a little bit like a battlefield.
And now you have to repair the wall.
Right. And then so now you're putting drywall. And I'll tell you another trick here that we found. We were doing some wallpaper remover, and it was really stuck removing some wallpaper, and the actual part of the paper of the drywall peeled off.
The paper face of the drywall,
You know, which is not that unusual. Well, I just took some drywall joint compound, and skimmed over it and everything, and I was fine. Well, an hour or so later, I'm looking at it, and it has all these little holes in it. I go, wait a minute, did it soak into it or whatever?
Right.
And so I did a little research on it with a friend of mine, and he says, well, did you spray primer on it first? And I go, well, no, I was going to prime it later. He goes, no.
Yeah.
He says, the reaction without that paper on that drywall, you just can't get that the joint compound to dry properly or to flatten out.
Right.
And so we always keep a can of spray primer around now, and even the smallest little disturbance of paper like that, we'll spray it, and I mean, you know, of course, it dries almost instantly, and then I never have that problem.
Oh,
so
that's interesting. Yeah,
if you get into that situation where, for whatever reason, the wallpaper or the drywall paper is disturbed, use a little bit of primer, and that'll help considerably. Let's get right to another one here, another email. We appreciate you sending these emails, and you can send one right now if you'd like, todayshomeowner.com/ask. Okay, here's one from Marilyn. My elderly mom just moved in with us, and at 95, she still gets around pretty well. Well, good for her. However, she does have a little trouble stepping over the threshold at the front door. The threshold's about 2 inches higher than the front porch. Now, we bought a thick doormat, but it doesn't seem to make much of a difference. Do you have any suggestions for making this transition a little easier and a little safer? Thank you so much. That's the kind of thing when you're looking at a home, whether you're child-proofing or whether you're making it more accessible for those that might be physically challenged, there's a lot of things you might ever think about that you need to do, and that's one of them because, you know, you're walking in and out of that door and you have just that little bit. What would you think, Joe? There's a lot of ways that you could create a little ramp or
little
slope
step,
there, but do you think would be the best way for Marilyn to tackle that?
Yeah, well, the first thing you could do is build a small, like 1 or 1.5 inch high platform, but you'd have to be careful that you don't want to create a tripping hazard on top of a tripping hazard, right?
Mm-hmm.
If someone's having difficulty stepping up 2, 2.5 inches, you could build a smaller platform. But I actually saw something, Danny, at Home Depot that I think might it probably addresses this problem. Maybe that's why someone invented it. It's called the Easy Access Transition Mat. It's basically just a rubber mat. It's about 14 by 40 inches, but it's angled up. So at the front edge, where you first approach the door, it's super thin, like quarter inch or whatever, and it's very slightly angles up.
It's actually a doormat?
It's a doormat. It's a rubber doormat.
Isn't
that good? And it angles up to about 1.5 inches or so at the back.
Huh.
So as someone's approaching it, they don't really even have to step up. You know, just you're very slowly. It's not a steep ramp. And you just walk up this. And it's rubber, so it's slip-free. It comes in, I think, 4 different colors. So check that out. Again, I think it's called the Easy Access Transitions Welcome Mat.
That's a great idea. I never even knew that that existed. But yeah. You think about, you know, when you think about something like that, and of course, many of our listeners right now are thinking, man, we could use that here, or we could use that there.
You don't have to be, you know, physically challenged.
Right,
if you're rolling something in and out.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. If you're rolling anything in and out of a doorway like that to be able to have that, that's a great idea right there. So,
it's about 1.5 inches thick at the back side.
Yeah,
that's pretty cool.
Okay, we've got a lot more information coming up for you. We're talking about transitions. That is something that can really be a challenge when you're doing some flooring yourself, especially any kind of laminate flooring. We've got a really great product that's just been introduced at Home Depot that can help solve that one for you. Also, if your furnace is just not cooperating with you, especially if you have a two-story house, we have a homeowner that's dealing with the same thing. We're going to guide them through on a few of the things that they need to do in order to solve that problem. You're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini, who's in the studio with us today. We're about to have a lot of fun, so don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Thanks for listening to Today's Homeowner. If there's a tip or piece of advice you may have missed, find it at todayshomeowner.com/radio. Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Tight Bond, the pro's advantage.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where it's time for our Home Depot best new product. Now, today there are more DIY flooring options than ever before, but where most homeowners get into a little trouble is with the transitions from one surface to another. So Pergo has introduced their 4-in-1 molding kit. It includes everything you need to complete your laminate flooring installation with a very innovative design that allows assembly of 4 different moldings from a single product. You can use the T-molding to join laminate flooring with a similar height hard surface floor. If the adjacent floor is a little lower, you use the hard surface reducer to make the transition or transition laminate flooring to a carpeted floor with the carpet transition. Now, you can even use it to finish your flooring installation at sliding glass doors, fireplaces, or other fixed edges with the end molding configuration. The moldings are color coordinated to Pergo laminate design, so no painting or staining is necessary, and they can be installed over smooth, flat, dry surfaces like concrete, ceramic tile, vinyl, and wood. So to learn more about this great 4-in-1 molding kit from Pergo, head on over to HomeDepot.com.
That's a great idea, because if you ever installed the floor and you get to the end of the project, it's like, okay, well, now what?
I know it, exactly.
What do I do it? We're meeting another floor or meeting a doorway or something, mm-hmm. And if you just go to the store and buy something that you think will fit, and you bring it back, it doesn't fit.
Now right.
And you go back, you get another. This is great. I think that's probably the reason they invented this kit, is just to simplify the whole process.
Oh, yeah, because that is what you hate to get to that point in the project and then start to have to scratch your head. Hey, let's grab another email here. Billy in South Carolina has a good question that we want to talk about. I'd like to use a vent-free fire logs in a basement. I was hoping to build a concrete block structure and cover it with artificial stone. Can I use construction adhesive to bind the blocks, and will they handle the heat? Well, that's a great question.
Good question.
And I'm a big believer in construction adhesive on just about anything, including repairing my boots the other day when I had a little flap in my boot. But you know, the thing about it now, of course, if he's talking about the concrete blocks and then covering it with the stone, then you're really insulating them, you know, from
right.
the fire and the heat and everything. I would think if they used the glue, you know, generously and allowed it to cure properly before introducing heat to it, I don't think it'd have much of a problem there.
No, I don't either. And if these are hollow blocks, hollow wall blocks, he's talking about building a wall, I would definitely fill it with cement, fill it with concrete, you know, to make, turn them into solid blocks or stuff them with some kind of like rock wool insulation or something, because all that will insulate the blocks and the stones and make it fire resistant. And everyone who's making a construction adhesive, Danny, they're making a heavy duty version of the product. And I think that would work. It's not going to get exposed to direct heat. They do make a heat resistant caulk and they make a heat resistant mortar, but I think any high quality, heavy duty, I know Gorilla Glue makes one, I'm sure DAP makes one, but in any case, get a heavy duty one, read the back of it, and I'm sure that's probably all he needs.
Yeah, and this time of the year, of course, you also need to be paying attention to the temperature that you're using it, because,
yes.
Boy, I'm telling you, when it gets down below 40 degrees and you try to use caulk, it's hard to get it out of that tube.
Yeah, and plus it doesn't stick as well, right? If when it's softer, it spreads out easier in between the two surfaces. So, yeah, always bring your caulk inside, warm it up. I've even, in extreme cases, dropped them into a sink full of hot water.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah. And when, you know, I need an extra tube, I found I had left it out in the truck or something.
Oh, boy. Hey, let's go to the hotline right now. Tim is on the line from Missouri. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, boys?
We're doing good. I hear you've got a little, the people upstairs are hot and the people downstairs are cold. Tell us all about it.
That would be me at both angles. Okay, here's what we got. We got a two-story home, and we have a staircase, a thermostat downstairs and thermostat upstairs. And I set it at 7 degrees downstairs, and without even the furnace turning on upstairs, it was getting old. It's 85 degrees upstairs because all that heat rises, even though it's set at 70 degrees below, the heat transfers upstairs, and it gets to 85. Now, to be honest with you, I did call a radio show last week other than yours, and they made a recommendation of just turning that fan on upstairs instead of on automatic, just have it run all the time. Then I was concerned. I was concerned about the electric bill.
Yeah, that doesn't really solve the problem though, Tim. Why the heat's going up there?
Yeah. So, and the way the staircase is built, it'd be very expensive to partition it off and put a door.
Yeah, you wouldn't want to do that. But I'll tell you what, there are so many inline and induct controls that are available, different dampers and different sensors that guys can use now. And they're not that complicated, as long as your ductwork and your header box that your ductwork comes off of is fairly accessible. And they're not that expensive. I mean, there's a lot of what I really, Joe, what do you think? Because this, first of all, very common problem.
Right.
And, you know, you hate to have to juggle and play with those thermostats so much. They might even be able to put that all in one thermostat that would be controllable. What do you think?
Yeah, I think first we're assuming that these systems aren't out of balance to begin with. So, a technician would have to come in and check and make sure that they're operating properly and one's not, for some reason, producing way too much heat. The dampers Danny's talking about, you cut them into the ductwork, and they're temperature sensitive, and they open and close automatically once they're set to the thermostat. You don't have to worry about them. Now, this is, again, assuming someone can come and check out and make sure all the ducts are properly sealed and insulated and the systems are balanced correctly, because there's several other reasons why it might be pumping out more heat than it should be. You don't want it to be, what did you say, like a 14-degree difference between one floor and the next. That's definitely,
yeah,
something's out of balance there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was concerned also, we have two air conditioners, two central air conditioners. And last year, because I just bought the house like September, still needed some air conditioning. We had to buy a window unit for upstairs because it was so hot.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Now that's where you can really burn up a lot of energy. Window units are not very efficient from that standpoint. So I really would recommend getting someone. Make sure that someone that works routinely with residential situations, and call a few people around. And you get the right person out there, they will offer you a solution. And you may even want to get a couple opinions on different ways of approaching it. And that way you can balance that air. And you have to look at it both summer and winter, as you've indicated there, Tim, to make sure that it does work out well for you. And hate that we don't have a real easy solution for you, but I think you'll find once you talk to the right guy that they'll be able to offer up that easy solution. Hey, you're listening to today's Homeowner Radio. We're glad you're with us. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about ceramic grout and how you can match it perfectly here on today's Homeowner Radio. Are you hooked on home improvement? Take our easy-to-understand and practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading our Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have the latest tips and answers to your home improvement questions. Subscribe today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn a lot more.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautiful tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with SimpleMat from Custom Building Products. SimpleMat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes, countertops, and shower walls. No mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot.
When you're working with wood, it's important to have the right tool for the job. Whether you need hand tools, power tools, finishing supplies, or just some good advice, the place to go is woodcraft.com. If you prefer hands-on help, stop by one of the 75 Woodcraft retail stores where you'll find classes taught by woodworking experts plus all the latest woodworking tools and supplies. Woodcraft for all your woodworking needs. Visit them in person or at woodcraft.com or call 1-800-535-4486. Ready to make your slippery surfaces safer indoors and out? Deitch Coatings now brings you TrackSafe Anti-Slip Sealer, and I think it's a winner. TrackSafe is a tough, pre-mixed clear coat you can roll onto slippery concrete, stone, tile, linoleum, and painted surfaces. It brings added beauty and foot traction to steps, wet pool decks and walkways, garage and interior floors, and more. Get a grip with slip-resistant TrackSafe. Order today online through the Home Depot or at DeitchCoatings.com.
So you like improving your home? Me too. Join me, Chelsea, at CheckinInWithChelsea.com for even more home improvement tips, tricks, and inspiration. I love improving my home and sharing the ups and downs with you so we can all learn together. Every month, I post a new project or how-to video with lots of other DIY posts in between. If I can do it, I know you can too. So drop by CheckinInWithChelsea.com or follow me on Instagram at CheckinInWithChelsea.
Say no to cold, drafty windows this winter with a Duck Brand Max Strength Rolled Window Insulation Kit. The kit helps block drafts with puncture-resistant rolled film that's 2 times thicker than standard window kits, so it's great for high-traffic or pet-friendly homes. The easy-to-use roll of film means there's no measuring needed. Once it's in place, just cut it to size. And the crystal-clear film means you don't have to sacrifice your view for comfort. Say no to the cold and visit DuckBrand.com to find a retailer near you.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Deitch Coatings. Easily roll on your new stone countertop, garage floor, and more in just a weekend with Deitch.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, where you can give us a call anytime, 800-946-4420. Or if you like to send emails, we like to get them, todayshomeowner.com/ask. Right now, we're going to go to South Carolina, and Dean is on the line. Dean, welcome to the show.
Hi, guys.
Tell us about this project. You got a little outside project. I'm sure you're not working on it today, but what's happening there with the grout?
We bought a house a few years ago, and it has a concrete patio with a brick inlay. And over the years, we've had some of the grout, both on the inlay and the brick steps, kind of come out and be damaged. And I've been trying to match the grout color at local hardware stores haven't been able to match it. So I didn't know if there's an easy way to try to match the color, or if I have to repair or replace, is what's the best way to do that.
Okay, so the grout you're talking about is so you have bricks, you have concrete, and then you have the bricks, and where the bricks are and they're all tied together is the grout that's tying all of that part of the patio together. Is that right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
The
right.
area between the brick and the concrete. Yeah.
Okay. Well, it almost has to be mortar.
Right. Exactly.
You know, instead of grout. And, you know, there's not a lot of different colors in mortar. And the thing is, you really want to clean that really well with a pressure washer and maybe some trisodium phosphate to, you know, to see what the real color is. But the thing about it is you can... make your best guess. I mean, it's usually going to be a traditional gray color, or it may be a buff color. So you should be able to tell which is which on that. Then, matter of fact, we're doing exactly what I'm saying right now. We're doing that next week on for one of the episodes of our television show. And you can apply the grout, and I'll tell you, a great little thing to have is a grout bag. And a grout bag's canvas, got a little nozzle on it, and
it's like a pastry bag.
Yeah, like a heavy-duty pastry bag, you know. And you pour that mortar in there, and you're able to just feed it right into all of the cracks. Of course, you want to make sure all of the loose mortar is away, you know, is out of there. And then you can just feed that in there. Now, it's not going to match right away. But most likely, what I would do is give it about a month or so and see how well it blends in. And then if you're not satisfied with that, then you really can take that mortar and the same mortar that you used and almost paint it over the existing grout, just to put a thin, thin layer. It's essentially, as I mentioned, paint over it so that that color is exactly the same on the top. Then as it ages a little bit, you'll see that it matches up very well. Then what I would recommend, after you're satisfied with the coloration and so forth, I would come back and put at least 2 to 3 coats of clear masonry sealer on it. It really won't make it shine, but it will lock in the surface so that water does not get down in it and stain it and deteriorate it a little bit more. But sounds like a very long process, but actually it's not that hard at all. And you can buy the pre-mixed mortar from the home centers very easily and just mix it with the consistency that it'll go through the grout bag pretty easily.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, our pleasure. It should work out really, really well. And Joe, as I said, we're actually doing a project. You ever worked with St. Joe Brick?
St. Joe Brick.
Yeah.
I think I should have, right? Since my name is Joe, but I've never been considered a saint, so maybe they're keeping me away from anything even referring to a saint. Right?
Yeah, I forgot I did some research on that at some point where they were made and that kind of thing, but they actually have on every single brick have that print on it,
right?
And then you just turn them over. And
bricks are typically made locally, so isn't there a St. Joseph, Florida? That's not too far.
Yeah, there's a big area down in there. And St. Joe Paper Company is a gigantic company. But I remember I can't exactly remember my research, but I assumed that it was part of that company, but it wasn't.
Oh.
And but they're, you know, kind of you know, brownish bricks and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
You know, those are some of the things over my many years of remodeling. We rarely throw away any solid brick like
that's
that,
right.
Especially the older ones. So we found enough bricks around that we will be able to replace the ones that are damaged on this particular project. And of course that means we know the bricks will match.
Right.
You know, because they're all the same age and so forth.
Yeah.
And then, as we just mentioned to Dean, with putting in the mortar, we're just going to take that grout bag, put the mortar in after we clean up everything, and then we're going to come back about a month later and apply the sealer on it to lock it in.
And companies make dyes. I think Quikrete makes lots of different dyes for cement, and you can certainly use that in mortar as well. And then Custom Building Products, I know they make dyes for grouts.
Mm-hmm.
Now, grouts are slightly different than mortar, but they're all made from cement. Some sort of cement. And I think they call it a colorant. I think they don't call it a grout dye. I think they're going to call it grout colorant. So that's another option if you want to try to match a color or change the color of a grout or mortar joint.
And if you are trying to select a grout or you're trying to match a grout, there's these little grout sticks. It comes in just a little pack that you can, you might have to buy them, or you might have to just put down a deposit to use them and bring them back to, you know, a ceramic floor store that has a lot of different grout selections. And then you're able just to lay that little stick right down on top of it. And we did that recently on a project that we did on today's Homeowner Television Show. And I mean, it was so obvious, you know, especially when you're on the site, the same lighting situation, and you lay then it's very clear.
Yeah, the little plastic sticks. Yeah, they're the same color.
It worked absolutely perfect. Hey, real quick, what's coming up on Simple Solution, Joe?
Well, you have an old banquet table laying around. How about converting it to a workbench?
Oh, a good solid wood, good and sturdy. That sounds pretty good. We have that and a whole lot more coming up here on today's Homeowner Radio. You can reach out to us anytime, 800-946-4420. If you'd like to send us an email, we would certainly welcome that. You can do so at todayshomeowner.com/ask. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back with a simple solution and more today's Homeowner Radio.
For DIY projects, you know the Home Depot's always in your corner. Now, with our mobile app, it can also be in the palm of your hand. With digital tools like image search, snap a picture of something, it'll recognize it and serve up product suggestions in seconds. And our product locator will check availability and lead you right to it. The Home Depot mobile app. Download it today to get started. Only from the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Are you hooked on home improvement? Take our easy-to-understand and practical advice with you wherever you go by downloading our Today's Homeowner podcast. With a fresh new episode every week, you'll always have the latest tips and answers to your home improvement questions. Subscribe today through your favorite podcast app or visit todayshomeowner.com/podcast to learn a lot more.
Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from PaveStone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from PaveStone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com.
Regardless of your skill level in home repair or woodworking, you want a glue that you can trust, because a glue that doesn't work can ruin any project in a hurry. Fortunately, Titebond has the glue you need to get the job done with confidence. From interior glues with strong initial tack and short clamp times, to exterior glues with exceptional strength and water resistance, look to Titebond for the right glue for your next project. For more information, visit Titebond.com or see them on Facebook.
Welcome back to today's Homeowner Radio. Here are Danny and Joe.
We always enjoy being with you each and every week here on today's Homeowner Radio. Want to remind you, you can reach out to us a lot of different ways, and one that a lot of people use is the Today's Homeowner Facebook page. First of all, there's a ton of information on there that's posted each and every day. We have a little fun there. You see a little behind the scenes of the radio show and TV show and a lot of other things happening there. And certainly you can send us a message at any time. That's the Today's Homeowner Facebook page. And we picked up a message there recently talking about how much they enjoy the Simple Solutions. And they said, why not make the whole show Simple Solutions? Well, I got to have a job. So, you know, I've got to have something to do. And if we turn it over there, then it would be all Joe all the time. So we're not ready to go there yet.
But that was my email.
Oh, was it your email? Yeah. Oh, I thought that looked kind of fishy.
I asked my mother, and she said, no, even I can't even take it. Even though you're my son, I can't take you for the whole hour.
Okay, share with us another simple solution, Joe.
All right, Danny. Many families have banquet tables, folding tables that they use occasionally during holidays and having a lot of people over. And over the years, they get pretty beaten up I don't really want to use this when my family comes over when we're having a holiday gathering. So what are you going to do with it? Well, the tables are pretty sturdy. They typically have steel frames. And so what you can do is convert it to a workbench, a folding workbench that you can store away, you know, put it in your garage or basement shop or something like that. But the problem is, they're at table height, which is only about 29 inches, 28 to 29 inches tall, which is way too low for a workbench. Workbenches and kitchen countertops are typically around 36 inches, so you don't have to stoop over mm-hmm. when you're working at them. So how do you lengthen the legs of an old banquet table? Here's one way. You get some 1-inch diameter, 12-inch long PVC pipe. Mm-hmm. And buy a little cap. They think these little caps you can put on the ends. You basically just cut the 1-inch PVC pipe, 12 inches long. You need four of them. You just slip them over the leg. And then get a cap, a plastic cap, and just tap it on. You don't have to glue it on. It holds on. And that's it. And you just flip the table up, and right there, you're about 36 inches. Now, you'll have to measure, you know, the legs. I shot a video of this, which you can see right now at todayshomeowner.com/simplesolutions, a video showing me doing this. And the legs on the table extended about 6 inches or so. And so, you know, the pipe went on 5 inches, 5 or 6 inches, and that's how I got to 36 height. So you might have to adjust the length of the pipe, but that's the solution. And again, the great thing is you can just fold this up and store it away and just pull it out when you need it.
That's right. And you still could use it for any other purpose
if you cover it up.
Sure. You know, throw a drop cloth over it.
Well, that'd be a lovely dining experience.
But by the way, we are using drop cloths for a lot of things. In one of our recent shows, we actually created this curtain, because we were changing a traditional garage into more of a fun room, game room, but they still had some storage of, you know, tools and things in there.
Right.
And we created this curtain out of regular drop cloths that covered all of that. Still,
we're talking about canvas?
Not plastic or anything. And it turned out to be kind of cool. And we got a lot of emails and feedback on that. And I'm actually in my new workshop that I showed you this morning.
Huh?
I'm using drop cloths for the curtains on the door and the windows.
Oh, good.
I just have to do some talking to my wife about breaking out the sewing machine doing the rest of that. Hey, that pretty much wraps up the first hour of Today's Homeowner Radio. If you're listening to a station that doesn't carry the second hour, head on over to todayshomeowner.com so that you don't miss a thing. And remember, our podcast is more popular than ever, the Today's Homeowner Podcast. You can check it out, todayshomeowner.com/podcast. I'm Danny Lipford, along with my buddy Joe Truini. Thanks so much for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.
Hey, we want to hear from you at Today's Homeowner Radio. Call the Today's Homeowner Hotline anytime, 800-946-4420, or send us an email at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Again, thanks for listening to this hour of Today's Homeowner Radio.